Tate from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
How you doing, Darren?
Doing good. Happy holidays, sir. Happy holiday to you and yours. It's Christmas
right
time.
Back at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Right back at you.
Uh-huh. Got the Yuletide log all aflame. Got carolers and fa-la-lying. You know, candy cane and it's all about. And it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah.
Why don't you go into Robert Goulet there? Right. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time.
La da dee, la da da doo.
Robert Goulet or Charlton Heston? I'm not sure which.
That's a little bit of.
It's
bit
Christmas
both.
Time. Get your sticking paws off me, you damn dirty ape.
It's a madhouse! A madhouse!
Now there's a Christmas movie for you. Enough with the Die Hard is a Christmas movie thing. Let's make Planet of the Apes a Christmas movie, right?
You know what? Dude, Planet of the Elves.
Ooh.
Nice, right? It writes itself.
It does. It shouldn't, like, but it does.
Yeah, and like at the end of the movie, he's walking on the beach. He sees a giant inflatable Santa, like one of those lawn Santas. Mm-hmm. And it's like he realized he'd never left Earth. He was here all along.
He's been on the North Pole the whole time.
Yes. You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you all to hell!
And Santa's so, like Dr. Zaius.
Yes. Dr. Zaius. Ooh, Dr. Zaius.
Anyway, so yeah, it's big goings on in the world of SNL. There was some major news that broke just a day or two before this last episode of SNL aired. Bowen Yang announced that he was leaving the show.
Yeah, how wild is that? When the lineup for this show was announced, you know, Ariana Grande and Cher, mm-hmm. a lot of eagle-eyed, devotees to SNL were kind of saying to themselves, Ariana Grande is very good friends with Bowen, and Cher is a musical legend, also a icon in the gay and queer circles and community. This would, like, if Bowen were to leave the show, this would seem like the show to leave on. There were rumblings. And then, yes, sure enough, the news dropped on Friday that he was leaving, and then on Saturday morning, he confirmed it on his Instagrams.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, it was something else. So John, like, what do you think about all this? What do you think about when you hear the news, and what are your thoughts on the departure of Mr. Bowen Yang?
I'm glad you asked, Darren. Because I do have a few thoughts.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, my feeling is mostly is like, oh, gee, that's too bad. I'll miss him, but I also like that he didn't overstay his welcome. He's been in the cast for 6.5 years. I think that's a good amount. I'll miss him on the show, but I wish him well. So yeah. I mean that's my basic feeling.
I'm the same way. I'm not mad at this at all. Like Bowen is, I feel like he's put in time, put in the work, made his stamp. Mm-hmm. on the show, solidified his legacy. Of course, the first Asian cast member of the SNL.
It's so hard to believe.
Yeah, isn't it? It's wild. One of the first openly gay cast members. And like, I really appreciated kind of what he gave the show. Like before him, like whenever, SNL would do a sketch about gay or queer people, they were always kind of the butt of the joke, or the jokes would mm-hmm. be like, ha ha, he's gay, that's two dudes kissing is funny. But like mm-hmm. he kind of did this thing where like he was doing sketches that sort of gave us a look into queer culture and the viewpoints of which I don't think had ever been really done before in the show. Like they were all like, before that, all the sketches were like sketches about gay people written by straight people. And mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah, so like with Bowen, he kind of gave us this sort of look into this gay culture, like with the iceberg, or what, the Sarah Lee sketch, you know, must get rid of toxic in community. And like, I don't know, he really kind of gave the show like a little something it's never really had before. And like, I think it's all the better for it. I mean, if you think about it, it's weird. It's so wild that at one point we had three openly gay cast members on the show, like with Bowen, Punky, and Kate. And like, that's never happened on the show before. And like, I don't think it's ever even happened on any like sketch comedy show before. Like, you know,
well, I mean, outside of something like the what was the show that Kate did before she came to SNL, the Big Gay Sketch Show, I think.
Oh, right. Shit. Sorry. Yeah. Yes, that. All right. I take that back.
I'm assuming the entire cast of that show is gay. I must confess, I've never watched it, but judging from the title.
Yeah. If it's not, it's false advertising then.
They're missing a bet. I mean.
but yeah, I mean, all that to say is, you know, I will miss Bowen, but this feels right. This feels like the right time to leave. Like, he's the show's biggest star. He has like tons of opportunities now. His podcast is really taking off. I think him and his podcast co-host Matt Rogers are signed to write a movie and star in it, and he's in movies now and commercials. Like, it's time. It's time. I feel this is right, and I wish him nothing but the best. But yeah, it's time to graduate from high school.
I also feel like a bit of a kinship with him in a weird way, because he got bumped up to a cast member not too long after we started the podcast.
Oh, that's
so
right.
He's been around on SNL for pretty much the entirety of the SNL Nerds podcast. Because I remember on one of the early episodes, I think it was like when Michael Keaton hosted, you were like, oh yeah, the guy who played Kim Jong-un in this sketch, who's Bowen Yang, who's one of the writers. And I was like, oh, that's neat. And then not long after that, he became a full cast member. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Look at that. A little boy's all grows up. Look at that.
It's kind of weird to think that we've been around for the entirety of somebody's tenure on SNL. But
yeah,
I guess that's happened a couple times now.
I guess so. I mean, with cast members that weren't on the cast for very long, yeah. But that is kind of wild. Wow, look at that. Well, let's get into the episode. We'll talk about... We'll get to gush more about Bowen and
a lot of Bowen goodbye stuff in this, as you might expect, because you know usually when we know it's a cast member's last episode, we have a few things that are there just for them. They get to say goodbye to some of their favorite characters over their last week or two. So you know that's probably why we saw Dr. Please again last week. So
that's right. They're running doing the laps of their favorites, all the hits, the golden oldies.
Yep. So, we mentioned earlier, this week it's Ariana Grande as a host, Cher as a musical guest. This is season 51, episode 9, air date 12/20 from 2025. So if you're listening to this in the future, greetings!
Yes. Is there a future? Has everything burned
down? Is there
down?
A future? Is it a post-apocalyptic wasteland, much like the Planet of the Apes / Planet of the Elves movies?
Yes.
Let us know.
Yes, did our movie pitch we just came up with minutes ago, did that come to fruition? it's like these guys are prophets. How did they know elves were going to take over the earth? Oh my god.
Anyway, so let's get into it. So we open up with the Trump Christmas address cold. This is just pretty much a solo piece by James Lawson Johnson doing his Trump. Did I take many notes on this? Hell no.
I kind of want to skip this. At this point, you know how we feel about these. They're all cut and paste. It's him, rambling incoherently like a real president.
Dropping
articles. So the economy's fine. It's getting closer to fine. Indigo Girls and just like random,
word salad and I have here in my notes my own version of nativity. Men from the Middle East give me gifts, and you know it's not bad. Also talked about the renaming of the Kennedy Center, which happened this week amazingly. It's now the Trump Kennedy Center for the Arts. No homo. Decent enough gag. He also talked about the release of the Epstein files. It says, my second favorite R word, redacted. And then he talks about how he's inventing his own Hunger Games. I guess because he has some of those, what do you call them? The fighters.
Oh, the UFC. Coming to the White
House. Yeah, UFC fighters. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I don't know where I try not to watch the real news because like I never come away from it happy.
Yeah, you know the one of the there's a fellow I follow his blog Mark Evanier. He's a writer of comics and TV shows and stuff, and he says that his rule for himself is he will allow himself a half hour per day to write or think about Donald Trump, and then after that he just puts his mind on other things. And that seems like a healthy way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, even a half hour, it's like, oh, you sure?
Yeah. Well, you know, that seems like two and a half hour. I don't feel like he's like, oh, I haven't thought of my full half hour of Donald Trump.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
limiting himself to a half hour, I guess. Yeah. Essentially.
So if he taps out at like 5 minutes, it's like, all right, well, that's all I can handle right now.
Exactly. And I think that's fine, honestly. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. I don't think anybody should be waterboarding themselves with news about our president at this time.
Like, yeah, because I mean, it's very depressing and overwhelming, and I mean, yeah, it makes you feel very powerless because there's all this shit going on, and you can't do, you can do very very little about it. I mean, outside of voting and attending No King's protests, and I don't know, calling your representatives. I mean, you know, there are things we can do, but yeah, even that seems limited.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway, our usual objections apply. It's a barely exaggerated version of what actually happened this week. I feel like they could be getting so much more creative with this stuff. And I feel like you have to really, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, he's talking about how he's inventing his own Hunger Games. Let's see that. Let's see Trump do the Hunger Games. Let's push this even further. Let's go way out there. I mean, I know the costume department would love to do wacky costumes that you see in like the Hunger Games movies.
Yeah.
Have Trump have people literally fighting to the death at the Trump Kennedy Center for the Arts. No homo.
Yeah. I mean, he's literally, they're just sort of, it's all show. It's all tell, no show. They're talking about all these things that he's doing. It's like, well, why don't just make a sketch about what he's talking about and then go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just, you know, like think of the outrageous shit that Trump did this week and think of more outrageous shit that he could do. So something that's even wackier and wilder. Yeah. I know that's tough sometimes, but that is your job as a comedy writer, you know?
So do your job, you grunts. What's the matter with yous?
I don't know. It just feels kind of lazy them just doing these Mad Libs versions of the news. And I don't find it very entertaining. I find it much more entertaining when they get creative with it.
I think I wrote
and wacky.
Yeah. I think I wrote down, well, at least it's only 5 minutes long.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's about all you can say is,
there you go.
I don't know. It's just a drag with the cold opens now. I know they could be so much better than they are.
They could be, but I don't know. We'll wish upon a star and hopefully see if that wish will come true.
Yeah, it's one of our wishes for 2026.
Yes.
Next up, we got the Ariana Grande monologue. She comes out and gives a monologue, as the hostess want to do.
Yeah, she talks about how people were wondering if she's going to come back and do Domingo. And she says, well, no, I don't think so.
Lord knows everyone else has, am I right? Domingo has a lot of sex, people.
Yeah, see? And she says, I don't think so, because when something's perfect, why make a sequel? That's why I'm in Meet the Parents 4, which she did just finish filming recently. And
Is she playing like Ben Stiller's daughter or something like that?
I don't think so. I think she's playing some other character. See, when she said that joke, I thought they were... She was referring to Wicked for Good, the Wicked sequel, and then she did a
There seems to be some debate about this, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, because I think Wicked for Good isn't technically a sequel. I think it's like the second half of the first part.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's based on the Broadway musical, and from what I understand, they just sort of split the Broadway musical in half and expanded it to make two movies out of it so they can milk it even more than they already were.
No, I believe I believe they said they really wanted to explore the lore and really get into the fine details of the relationship between Elphaba and Glinda. So that's
I stand corrected.
They didn't do it for money. Why would they do that?
Oh yeah, you're right. Hollywood never does anything for money.
No. We're not doing this for
artistic merit all the way.
We're not doing this for money. We're doing this for a shitload of money. I knew you'd get that one, John. Slam dunk. Yeah. High five.
That's yeah, but I mean I took that joke as you know, like the surface thing of them just kind of admitting the Domingo thing is very played out. And yeah. They went to the well a few too many times for that. Like six.
Yeah. But then she goes on and sings a little song to the tune of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. But she's singing about how she doesn't know what to get her cousin's boyfriend. And the whole song basically becomes, what do you get for those people in your lives you don't really know that well?
Right. What do I get for Christmas for this dude? And then several cast members come out and join in the song with her. Something I'm curious about, you know how some people, you know, like during the holiday season, there's Whamageddon, and there's also a similar thing with the trying to avoid the Mariah Carey song.
Yeah.
Does this count? Because it is the same tune, but it's like rewritten lyrics. It's like a parody version. So does that count?
Ooh, good point.
You heard this on Saturday night. Are you out for the Mariah Carey thing?
It's not the song. It's just the tune to the song. Mm-hmm. So based on that technicality.
Right. So like if you heard a Muzak version without lyrics, that would count.
Yeah, it would.
Right.
I don't think so. We'd have to go over the rules. I would say, like, it has to be the song by the singer. Anything else that's like if it was like a Weird Al parody of it, I don't think that would count. So I don't think this
counts. All right. I'm just curious. I don't have a horse in this race, really. Okay. I personally find it very easy to avoid the entire oeuvre of Wham and Mariah Carey. I don't go out a whole lot, so I'm not randomly hearing it out in public. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Just to make sure you don't play it in your house and you're golden, baby.
Yep. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. So that's how you do it, people. You don't leave your house.
Yeah, be a hermit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the way to live.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
There are like people out there.
Ugh. Yeah. Yuck.
Right.
No, thank you.
No.
But yeah, so
anyway, Merry Christmas, people.
Happy holidays. Stay away from me.
That's basically my holiday sentiment. Merry Christmas. Stay away from me.
Stay away from me. 10 feet, please.
Happy holidays. Get the F away from me.
get the hell away from me. Oh boy. Yeah. So the cast members come out, give, Ariana suggestions, like, you know, Box of Roy oysters, some Kirkland shampoo, you know,
socks,
of course. I mean, socks are great. Like if you get
socks
a nice
are classic, I could use some socks right now. Yeah.
Ooh, nice warm pair of socks on winter. Ooh, baby. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now you're cooking. But yeah. And then this song ends with Marcello telling Ariana that, her cousin broke up with Steve. So she didn't have to get him anything. Merry
Yay!
Christmas. Yeah. I thought this was cute. It's a cute enough, monologue.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it was nice when Bowen came out and all the audience went straight up nuts. Just like, ah, Bowen!
Yeah.
Yes, so, just, well,
he,
I mean,
he was getting a lot of love during the show tonight.
He was. We'll get into it, folks. We'll get into it. But yeah, so first sketch of the night, the Elf on a Shelf support group.
Yeah, we got Andrew Dismukes as Waffles Silly Muffin.
Of course.
We got a whole lot of elf names like that. And he's holding a support group for the problems that various elf on a shelf, elves on a shelf.
Elves on a shelves.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you pluralize that. Anyway. So didn't they do a sketch kind of like this before with like problems of elves on the shelf? Something like the viewpoint of the elf on the shelf. They were doing some blue screen effect.
Yeah, the Jason Momoa episode. They did do an Elf on the Shelf.
Right, yes.
Yeah, but I think this is the it's another Elf on the Shelf sketch, but it's not like
It's not really a continuation. I just had a vague memory of another Elf on a Shelf sketch.
The Jason Momoa episode they did at one.
That's it. Okay, all right. And it's been a few years anyway, so. So we got problems like Jeremy Colhane's Elf. He fell underneath the couch and he's got like sort of random bits stuck to him and nobody in the family has found him yet.
He's going crazy. He's talking to AAA batteries, man.
Yeah. Ariana, we find out she's been ripped in half by the cat. Mm-hmm. And so we see her torso on the couch and then next to her is her legs, or really rather somebody else's legs are wiggling their legs around.
Yeah, and Santa says that the elves can't move because they have to report to Santa everything they see. So she has to just sit there and let it happen. And she just wish elves could die. Why can't we die?
Yeah. And then she begins crying, and she cries in, was it jelly beans or?
Yeah, she cries jelly beans. And also all the elves in the sketch, they did something to all their voice.
Oh, yeah.
Sound like the chipmunks. They all have high-pitched voices.
Yeah, they aren't just putting on the voices. They are doing some sort of electronic thing where everybody talks like this, and it got old pretty fast.
It was very Alvin and the Chipmunks. Yeah,
I don't know if we needed that. I mean, like when they did the classic Santa's Workshop sketch that was the Glengarry Glenn Ross parody, everybody was just doing the voices of the elves.
Yeah, like I don't want to say the voice modulation thing took away from the sketch, but definitely didn't add.
I'll say that.
Okay.
The voice modulation took away from the sketch.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that.
You don't have to say it because I'm saying it right now. Putting SNL on notice.
I toss them up, you slam them down.
That's right.
I did like Dismuke's line where when Ariana is crying, she says, look, this isn't Santa's workshop. You're allowed to cry here.
Yeah, yeah, that was good. Mikey Day, his elf, he's an elf on a shelf in a frat house at Arizona State University. And he says, you know, the frat brothers basically just put him in suggestive poses. And they show several photos of him. You know, there's one that looks like he's snorting cocaine. There's one that looks like he's having intercourse. But because he's an innocent elf, he doesn't really know what that is.
Yeah, and one of the elves does knows, and he thinks he likes it. And also, they added this other thing where Waffle Silly Muffin says that, yes, elves can die. Like, if they think a naughty thought, they explode into confetti.
We're just adding Elf on the Shelf mythology right and left here. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know if that... I feel like that was like a hat on a hat. I don't know if they needed to add that in there.
Well, I mean, we have the camera, you know, pan away from Cam Patterson, no relation. And yeah, he's thinking naughty thoughts and he explodes into confetti and everybody else is covered in confetti.
Yeah. And then Waffle says it's for the best. He was in pain.
Yeah. And then Keenan had maybe the worst fate of all. He was eaten by the family dog and then he was like passed through. So, okay. All right.
Came out the beehole.
Yeah. And then Keenan explodes into confetti.
Because he's smoking a candy cane, and he calls Santa a butt.
Yeah.
And then explodes into confetti.
So that's also naughty thoughts.
I like parts of the sketch.
I liked, the first half of it. I thought it started well enough, but yeah, I thought it went kind of astray by the end.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of stuff I liked in the sketch, but, the whole thing with the confetti, I was like, all right, well, that's another thing they're throwing in there.
It was kind of a hat on a hat.
Yeah, like I felt like if they kept a little more tighter, more contained to just the group, you would have been able to find more comedy in there.
Yep.
But, you know, not a terrible sketch.
Yeah, no, not terrible, but also just sort of okay, which can be almost more frustrating.
Oh, boy. All right, well, let's go to our first pre-tape of the night. Let's go back in the Wayback Machine. Let's go to Home Alone, John.
Home Alone. We got the ending of Home Alone. Actually, I'll just say what I assume is the ending of Home Alone, because I've never actually watched the movie Home Alone.
What?
No, I've never seen it.
Why not? Wow.
It's the biggest... Look, that movie came out in what, like 1990?
Yeah, I think so.
So I was 18. I'm not going to see like Home Alone as an 18-year-old, you know?
Oh, sorry, too badass for that?
Too badass, that's right, yes. Yeah.
You're out there at the malt shop in your cruiser with your leather...
Clove cigarettes, wearing leather jackets, you know, hassling anybody who gave me lip.
Hey, get out of here, old man, Amscray.
That's what I was about.
Just a straight up hooligan, a rebel without a cause. Just
I wasn't living the Home Alone life. Yeah. I've never seen it. And also that's one of those movies that just became so successful and omnipresent that it became like an act of defiance to not see it.
Oh.
I was just never especially interested in it. Okay. I'm sure if I ever sat down and watched it, I would be like, okay, yeah, that's entertaining. But I also feel like I more or less know the deal because of cultural osmosis, you know?
All right, fair enough. Wow, this is interesting. All right, I mean, I just feel like everybody's... Oh, yeah, it came out in 1990. Yeah, yeah, I feel
Most everybody has. Look, I'm an outlier. I realize this. I'm fine with...
All right, okay.
I'm okay. I've spent, what is it, like 35-odd years not seeing Home Alone. I'm content with this decision.
Okay, all right, man. Well, you're lost.
I don't feel like I'm really missing out, you know?
Okay. It was fun. I remember I saw this.
No doubt it's fun.
Yeah. I saw this in the theater with my mom, and it's like, it's a wacky good old time. I'm just surprised because it's like one of the biggest movies of the 90s. Like,
it is.
Okay.
I mean, there are tons of big movies I've never seen. I've never watched Titanic all the way through.
That's a little more understandable, I guess.
Yeah. Because it got so big, I feel like, I got the gist of it.
Yeah. Like, let me guess. The boat sinks at the end? Okay.
Right. You know.
Okay.
Anyway, so we got Ariana Grande as Kevin. End of the movie. It's Christmas Day. His family returns.
We see Ashley Padilla as the mom, the Catherine O'Hara role. Mm-hmm. And, looks for Kevin. Kevin runs down. I would say also, like, they got the hair, makeup, and wardrobe down pretty tight. Like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they nailed the look of it.
Yeah, yeah. And, mom and Kevin hug. Then the rest of the family comes home, too. We see Colin Jost's Buzz, the bully older brother.
Mean older brother.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz. I hate Buzz.
Oh.
Shaking my fist. I assume I hate Buzz.
Yeah, he's like, hey, butthead. He's that type of dude.
Okay.
So
if you put it in terms of Back to the Future, that'll get, yeah.
Okay. Think Biff. Mm-hmm. He's like that. So the family got there this morning because they took the morning flight that the mom didn't want to wait for. Because in the movie, the mom was so eager to get home to see her child. Like, she hitchhiked the ride with, the Polka King. And that's where you see the John Candy cameo. And like,
I didn't know that there was a John Candy cameo in Home Alone. Well, you've ruined that for me.
You were never going to see it. You just said you were never going to see it.
I went 35 years.
You just
and now you've ruined the one bit of surprise that movie held for me. How dare you, sir?
You just said you weren't going to see it.
I said I was unlikely to see it.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
So the mom comes home on her own flight because she cares more about the kid than the rest of the family.
I don't think she didn't fly. She took she hitched a ride with like a polka band and like
that. Weren't they going like overseas to Paris or something now?
I haven't seen it in a while. I think they were overseas, but then either way, I don't know. She caught a ride with the Polka King and, she got home. She's been up for 72 hours. The dad goes to put his coat away and she's like, wait, dad, I forgot. And you see the house is still booby trapped from all the burglars and the family.
Defeating the wet bandits.
The wet bandits. See, the wet bandits. So there you go. Well,
again, cultural osmosis, man. Yeah.
Okay. So dad opens the closet, triggers a flamethrower to dad's head. His head gets set on fire. Yeah. One of the kids.
And as soon as you see this, you're like, oh, shit, Sarah Sherman had a hand in writing this. Okay. Yeah.
Possibly.
Body horror. Got it.
Body horror. So Jeremy Colhane was a kid, freaks out. He walks backwards, slips on some Hot Wheels, falls, smashes his head on the piano, is dead. family freaks out. They try to put out dad with the fire extinguisher. Oh no, the fire extinguisher is filled with kerosene. Fire.
He's more on fire. His whole torso's on fire now. And yeah.
Flame on.
Sarah slips backwards on some marbles. She goes down a chute down into the furnace. She catches on fire. A lot of people on fire in this.
Fire's a big thing in this thing. Tommy Brennan runs to get water, trips over some wire, takes some nails to the face from a nail gun.
Yeah.
Yikes on bikes.
Colin Jost is Buzz. He goes to the phone and
he picks up the receiver, and that triggers a chainsaw that falls from the ceiling on a string, ends up swinging, cuts off both of Bowen Yang's arms. Blood flies everywhere. Swinging paint can almost hits Buzz, but that triggers a box fan to fall on Buzz, and it chops him down to the ground from head to toe. Yikes. And at this point, that's where the neighbor, who in the movie, Kevin was afraid of his neighbor because he heard stories about him, how he's like the weird old man neighbor. But he got to know him, and he found out he's actually a nice guy who's like looking to reconcile with his son, and the neighbor actually does help him. The neighbor actually helps him out later on in the movie. But anyway,
kill people like in this sketch?
No.
Does he beat anybody to death with a shovel?
He does not beat anyone to death with a shovel, no.
Oh, okay.
It's a PG movie, John.
Well, I want to see it somewhat less now. Yeah.
I'm sorry. All right. But yeah, so the old man with the shovel comes in. He's like, hey, good news. I reconciled with my son. Bam, he gets decapitated by the buzzsaw. And then we see that the whole thing was actually the mother's hallucination because she's been up for 72 hours and she's wacky. And she says, yeah, sorry, we left you alone, Kevin. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And a happy new year. We see that the neighbor pops out of nowhere with the shovel. The mom and Kevin scream. The old man screamed out of terror and just instinctively knocked them both out with the shovel. And he says, "Oh no, I've killed again." And he runs away. Pretty good sketch. Pretty wild.
I would say it was my favorite of the week. I enjoyed it, but I didn't like the ending. I didn't like that they wimped out at the end. I don't care for like ending it with like, oh, it was a dream, and then, and here's this other. I feel like if you're gonna do this, if you're gonna be this outrageous, go all the way with it, you know?
I guess maybe they thought. See, I don't want to say that. Oh, they thought maybe. Mutilating and murdering an entire family is too dark. But then it ends with them, with the mom and Kevin getting killed anyway. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know what the flip.
Exactly. I don't feel like we needed the dream sequence bit at all. I mean,
yeah, that's
like, you know, a few years ago, do you remember the Dead Poets Society parody they did? The Farewell, Mr. Bunting, I think it was called.
Yes, of course. Oh, Captain, my Captain. Yeah.
You know, and like everybody gets heinously slaughtered in that, and like the same with the Christmas Carol parody they did with Steve Martin and Martin Short back. I mean, you know, just go all the way with it. I don't like the sketch wimping out and being like, oh, it was just a dream.
Yeah, used to read Word Up magazine.
Yeah,
Salt and Pepper.
I didn't care for that.
Yeah, that is now you mentioned it. Yeah, that is interesting why they just chose to kind of zig in that direction.
Yeah, so that takes it down from like an A to like, you know, maybe a B sketch for me.
Yeah, fair enough. Still pretty wild. Mm-hmm. Nice little nostalgia for those that have seen Home Alone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I got it.
You were lost? You know,
I'm like David Spade in the 50th anniversary special. I got the gist of it.
I'll get it on the day.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. So let's move on to Dancing 101.
Dancing 101. We got a dance class. We got Chloe in there. We got other people in there. Who else do we have in there?
We got Chloe. We got J.A.J. We got Culhane.
Yeah.
We got Bowen.
We got Bowen in there, yeah.
Yeah, and then like all of them are talking about these new amazing dance instructors. I hear they're amazing. Yeah. And of course, Bowen says, "Amazing, huh? Try pretty good." He's like, "That's worst."
And then Marcelo and Ariana come in as the instructors. And like as soon as they entered, I was like, "Oh, I can already tell I'm going to hate this."
And were you right?
Yes. Yeah, I was just like, "Oh, this is not for me. This is, this is so not my sort of sketch."
Part of me was thinking, oh, they're just going to do that acting coach thing that Marcelo has done before.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they did do that. They switched it up a little bit at the end because they included.
A little infinitesimal bit, yes.
Like they included the dancers, the students had a little bit more of a role in it. And so it wasn't all on Marcelo to carry. Yeah. So I thought, all right, that made it a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know they were talking about how you know the secret to dancing is doing fast, 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 slow. You know, you do three really fast moves and then you do slow it down. And honestly, I spent half a sketch trying to figure out what was going on with Chloe Fineman's sweater.
Oh, interesting.
That was. Do you remember this?
It was like red, but that's all I really.
It was red, but she had like this one super, super baggy, puffy sleeve. And then it was like tight on the other side. It was so weird. I've never seen a design like it. I was like, is this a comedy sketch sweater or like people actually wearing sweaters like this? I have no idea.
Oh, wow. Look at you looking at Mr. Fashion, looking at people's.
I don't know. It was just so unusual. Another look at the sketch. Look at Chloe's sweater. It's bizarre.
I guess I'll have to. I was paying attention to the comedy. And,
oh, well, rookie mistake.
You gotta look at these broads. And
you
gotta
punch out early like I did, buddy.
Oh, God.
I did like how Marcelo and Ariana were switching off the soul patch back and forth.
Yeah, that was funny. Between the two of them.
That was cute, and I kind of wondered if that was something that he was improvising for the live show. I don't know. She seemed a little surprised by it. But.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure, because like there were a number of times where Ariana like broke and was just getting very giggly. And I was trying to figure out what's she laughing at? What's happening here?
Yeah. You know, when you ask what she laughing at in the middle of a comedy sketch, that's not a good sign.
Because right? it can't be this sketch.
It can't be this sketch. We know this isn't funny.
Yeah. But actually, no, there was one part I did kind of laugh at where they were talking about how you can tell how someone dances. You can tell how someone has sex by watching them dance.
Right.
And then Jeremy Culhane, that he tries it out. And it's like he starts to dance a little bit and then he just vigorously humps the air saying, oh, thank you. No one ever lets me do this.
Yeah.
And then,
he
embarrassingly just like, all right, well, I have to go.
Yeah. That was all right.
Yeah.
That was all right. That maybe made the corner of my mouth twitch upwards a tad.
There you go. And the Grinch's heart grew three times that
day. Slow down.
Damn. We went from Grinch to Chris Rock.
That's right. Slow down. I think it's already clear that high school was busting my ass.
Nice. But yeah, I thought the sketch was okay. I mean, the fact that they kind of spread it out so everybody had a little bit something to do and it wasn't all just on Marcelo's shoulders made it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was okay.
It was all right. It wasn't my thing. I mean, honestly, I thought it was kind of bad, but.
Okay. There's one sketch coming up where I wasn't crazy about, but we'll get there.
Oh,
we'll
okay. There. Oh, just the one?
Yeah, I'm feeling generous.
Okay, all right.
I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm feeling generous.
I'm scanning ahead now. I'm trying to think. I see a couple candidates. Which,
ooh.
Okay, all right. Did this sketch involve a trial?
Oh, no. That's the one I know you didn't like.
Yeah, I mean, I also did not like that one. But anyway, that's a little ahead.
Okay. All right. But so next up, Random Duet Christmas Spectacular.
Yeah, this is, in the tradition of David Bowie and Bing Crosby.
So random.
Who sang Little Drummer Boy together and brilliantly parodied a number of years ago by Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly for Funny or Die. Look that up if you haven't seen it. It's wonderful. Indeed. So they were just like, you know, let's have more really random singers. And, you know, it's another one of those impression off sketches.
Right. So here we get Bob Dylan and Katy Perry. We see Ariana doing her Katy Perry impression, dressed up in an astronaut uniform. Because
Katy Perry, that was a nice touch.
Yeah. She went to space for like 20 minutes.
She's an astronaut now.
Yeah.
She's an astronaut now, and therefore she dates the Canadian Prime Minister. That's how it works.
2025. It's wild, baby.
Yep.
Then we have Bruce Springsteen and Bad Bunny. Bruce Springsteen saying, hey, my father was an elf. He'd be up at the North Pole making tours, but like all my stories, that's not true.
And Marcello doing Bad Bunny. We got Kate Bush and Yoko Ono. That was Sarah and Bowen. That was one of my favorite pairings, I think.
I would say so. Like, I don't know how many people
are... That was one of the funnier ones.
Yeah, like, I don't know how many people are super familiar with Kate Bush. Because, like, I feel like people just know her from the Running Up That Hill song, but, like...
Yeah, she's had a bit of a resurgence lately because of the Running Up That Hill was used on Stranger Things, I think it was.
Yeah, but, like, in this part, she was kind of singing her Wuthering Heights song to a Christmas thing, and she was doing that interpretive dance thing. If you watched her video, you can see that Sarah Sherman would kind of nailed it with the... You know, arty farty interpretive dance that Kate Bush does. And of course, Bowen's Yoko Ono is just him screaming and screeching insane nonsense.
Chef's kiss, yes. Right.
That's Yoko Ono.
We had Keenan as Stevie Wonder and Benson Boone, who I was like, wait, who? And then I looked at the name and I was like, wait, wait. Well, yeah, Benson Boone. He was a guy who he was on SNL like towards the end of last season, and he jumps on things and does backflips and shit. Yeah. Yes, I remember him vaguely. Yes.
Yeah, backflip boy.
Backflip dude. Yes.
Yeah. So
I think I even kind of liked his music, but but the name just did not stick in my head, really. So I was like, woo.
Yeah. So in this part, as we see Benson Boone doing a backflip, crash lands on Stevie's keyboard and just lies motionless on the ground.
Right. And Stevie does like a play-by-play implying that he can actually see.
I was going to see, there was a picture of this that I was going to use for whenever after the episode comes on, I always put up saying, hey, you know, the episode just ended, you know, reach out to
thoughts,
us.
Comments.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll read them on the next episode. I've seen them. I'm familiar with your work.
Yeah. And I always put a picture for just to sort of, you know, what I thought was the funniest thing of the night. And I was going to put a picture of that, of Benson Boone lying motionless on the ground. But, like, Blue Sky wouldn't let me do it. They said, it got flagged for, like, disturbing content or something.
Really?
It did! I was shocked.
Wasn't that, like a dummy?
Yeah, I think. I don't know if it was
so wild.
Yeah, I was like, well, come on, it's no blood. It's just a dude possibly dead on the ground.
That's so weird. Yeah.
What is going on?
Weird, the things that get flagged. I remember, like, maybe a year ago, I was doing a thread about Star Trek, and I used, a still from the Next Generation episode, Yesterday's Enterprise. And it was a still of, Will Riker lying dead, and he has some sort of wound, I think, on his neck or his forehead or something like that.
Okay.
And that got flagged. And I was like, really? This image from, like, syndicated TV in 1990 with, you know, like Jonathan Frakes with fake blood on him, that gets flagged? Really? All right.
Yeah. Exactly. And meanwhile, I got that picture from somebody else's Blue Sky account. So how come he can put it up but I can't? What the flip?
I don't know. It's
duh. I just want to see Benson Boone lying motionless on the ground.
We all do. We all do.
Is that so wrong?
Anyway, we also have Bjork and Post Malone.
Yes, the tree is crying silver tears.
Yeah. Lil Jon and Jane Wickline playing herself.
Yes, and this one actually surprised me. They have Cameron Winter from the band Geese and Benson Boone, which I thought they might know. I mean, I know who Geese is, but like, I was surprised that they include them because they're kind of a band. They're not super obscure. They're kind of on the rise, but they're definitely not like in the mainstream.
It did not ring a bell with me. So I was just like, I don't know who this is. I remember Benson Boone from the last couple things. So.
Right. And of course, he did a flip and crashed into a tree onto the ground, which I'm a simple man. Like, a man falling to the ground will make me laugh.
We do like a good pratfall here. Right. At the SNL Nerds. Yeah.
Exactly. And then this whole thing ends with Andrea Bocelli and Celine Dion singing a Hanukkah duet. You know, a world of chocolate coins where children eat yummy latkes.
Right.
And yeah, that one was weird because it didn't really have any jokes. It was just like genuinely good singing.
No, it was just the fact that they were singing a Hanukkah song in, I think it was Italian?
Yes.
Or was it French? I can't remember. I guess French would make... Well, yeah. Italian would make sense for him. French would make more sense for her.
Oh, mais oui.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then that's it. I thought this one was okay.
It was all right. They've done better, you know, impression off type sketches before. I did like the joke that they said, coming to Peacock December 33rd. That can't be right.
What?
Yeah.
Wah. All right. But yeah, that was okay.
It was okay. So, it didn't blow me away. But
yeah.
It's fine. It's agreeable enough.
Saturday Night Live. Agreeable.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's go to the one which, as soon as it came on, I was like, yeah, Trumbull's going to have this one's not going to be his cup of tea. It's Black Santa.
Wait. Are you saying like you thought I was going to hate it just because it involved black people?
No.
Are you saying you're racist?
What? No. Just because it involves Keenan, who happens to be
okay.
Black. So I liked the exterior shot because it looked just like the opening of Night Court when I saw it.
Okay.
Go back and look at it. Tell me you don't.
Did you like the Night Court revival with Melissa Rauch?
I tried to give it a shot.
Okay. Yes, that says it all.
It's one of those things where like the chemistry was just off, and it's
yeah, it was okay. I enjoyed her, and I like Dan Larquette and most anything. I just never found any of the new characters especially interesting. So
yeah, the writing wasn't as sharp. And I mean, with most TV shows, like the chemistry between the cast is like it's like paramount. Like if the chemistry is not there, the show's not there. And
it just was not there.
I just thought it was okay. Just kind of whatever.
Yeah, it was a decent attempt, but you know, it's tough. It's also tough because like. You know, unfortunately, so many members of the original show are no longer with us.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two. They're down to two, which is...
Ooh. Yeah, which is really just kind of depressing.
Very much so.
If you're a fan of the original show, you're just like, oh, yeah, we're not going to get any cameos from Harry or Bull or Christine Sullivan or Mac or...
Oh, Flo. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, Flo was really a long shot.
Yeah.
But she died during the original run. Yeah. So did Selma. But
yeah, I know. Yeah, that was... Is Art still alive, the maintenance guy?
Whew, that's a good question. I do not know.
Ooh, let's get Art on the... Guys. Art, if you're out there, give us a call.
Anyway, so back to this sketch. We got Black Santa. We got Keenan as the Santa Claus-looking type of guy. He's, you know, long white beard. He's in a reddish... He's in, like, a red velvet suit, like crushed velvet, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on trial for breaking and entering. And for his defense, he plays a Christmas song. He plays Do You Believe... Or is that song just called Believe, the Cher song?
I think it's Believe. Yeah, he sings to the tune of Cher's Believe... Do you believe I'm Black Santa Claus? That's his entire defense because he's representing himself.
And he's horribly auto-tuned.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was my main objection to this sketch, not the horrible auto-tune, not so much the Keenan of it all. But,
okay. All right.
And then, you know, it turns out he just stole women's underwear and shoes. And
the judge is letting him go. And the prosecutor
Grande is the judge. Oh, I'm convinced. You can go. Free to go. And like he said, the prosecuting attorney, he's like, wait, no.
Like, he's not Santa. He's a burglar. And of course,
Keenan
says, well, why can't I be both?
Yeah.
Like, Santa's anything.
Because you just took stuff.
Yeah, but anything. Santa could be anything you want him to be. White, black, a burglar. All you have to do is believe.
Yeah.
And I took... You know, women's underwear, shoes, and yoga pants. But, you know, that's what Santa could be anything. Santa could steal anything. Like, these can be toys. All you got to do is believe. If you believe in Black Santa Claus.
I'm guessing you enjoyed it somewhat?
I thought it was, I don't want to say I liked it.
No, I found it. No, you really don't.
I found it charming enough. I'll say that.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, of course.
I thought it was awful, but, you know.
I can't say it's awful. I thought it was charming enough. Yeah, but it's not super strong. It's, I mean, it's one that's all dependent on Keenan, you know, pulling this off. And,
I mean, his performance is well enough, but I, you know, there weren't really any surprises for me. There weren't any real twists to it. It seemed very obvious. I mean, if you showed me like the first minute or 30 seconds of this, I probably could have written the rest of the sketch.
Yeah, that might be too. Like there aren't.
I probably wouldn't have put in the Cher song, but that's me. Cool. But
yeah, that's the thing too. There weren't too many. It was kind of straightforward. There weren't too many twists and turns. It was all Keenan acting wacky. It really is a sketch to like your enjoyment of the sketch will depend on how much you just enjoy Keenan do anything.
Yeah, and, or how much you like Auto-Tune.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Auto-Tune and Keenan, and of course at the end, it ends with everybody dancing to "Do You Believe."
And everybody like dances out into the audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know. Part of me feels like that's always kind of a cop out where it's like, oh, we don't know how to end a sketch. Everybody dance. And it just turns to like, just turned into a rocking New Year's Eve dance party. And I was like, all right. All right. But, not terrible. I know you think it's terrible. I would say
it's that's okay, but you're allowed to think it's not terrible.
Thank you. Well, thank you, sir. I mean, but charming enough, I'll say.
Okay, charming enough. I think it's terrible. You thought it was charming enough.
Do you believe this life and love?
And speaking of Auto-Tune, we have our musical guest of the week, Cher, who does two Christmas theme songs. She does DJ Play a Christmas Song and Run, Rudolph, Run.
Yeah, both of these songs can be found on her Christmas album from 2023.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
That's the thing that musicians do a lot. They do the Christmas album because then they can, you know, have a perennial seller for every year, you know?
That's right. That's right. That's how you get the big bucks rolling in. That's why Mariah Carey did that All I Want for Christmas Is You. Now she gets a check every year around this time.
Cha-ching. Yep.
Cha-ching. Yep. Take that shit all the way to the bank, baby.
Yep. Pretty much every artist seems to do a Christmas album at some point or another. If they have a career of any appreciable length, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's where all the money is. Like, Christmas song. Yeah, I guess all the other holidays aren't as, I guess, maybe profitable for songwriters as Christmas is.
Well, I mean, Christmas is also so associated with music, too. Mm. So, you know, you don't have, like, Easter carols, really.
Not yet.
Yeah.
not until I get that started. Maybe I should do that. I'll do Easter carols, because, like, it's an untapped resource.
Well, you do that right after the Planet of the Elves movie.
So. Oh, my God. Hollywood, call me. I'm just spitting out all this gold.
I did like, though, Ariana Grande introduced Cher's second number as the castrato.
Yes.
From her previous sketch, from one of her previous hosting gigs.
Yeah, from her last time, Antonio the Castrati, the sketch with Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph. Yeah, that was a nice, I like that nice little nod. That's like, that's something for all the SNL nerds out there, like us.
Yeah, I like that she went to the trouble of getting back into that costume for just to introduce Cher. That was kind of cool. You know, the music, you know, Cher's music isn't really my thing, but...
Yeah, I can see that.
I enjoyed Run and Rudolph Run.
It was good. Yeah, I mean, the fact that she's, you know, a woman of a certain age and she's still got it.
She's like 79, I believe. Yeah.
She's like a few years younger than Lorne.
Yeah.
She's up there. But like she's still out there, still rocking. I know there's a bit of controversy because people say the first song, the DJ Play a Christmas Song, was like, She was like lip syncing, or they're accusing her of lip syncing, and I can sort of see it.
I thought that first number was just again horribly auto-tuned. So I just do not care for auto-tune at all. So
wow, you don't like it. Yeah. You don't like Peter Frampton at all, or anything like that.
What like do you feel like I do?
Yeah, do you? Yeah, that guy. That's auto-tune, right? Or is that something else?
I thought that was more just like him sort of making his guitar squawk. Because wasn't he auto-tuning?
I don't. What is auto-tune? I feel like that. I thought that was auto-tune, like that Peter Frampton, Frampton Comes Alive, when he talks into like a tube and shit. Isn't that?
All right, you're going to make me Google auto-tune.
No, don't. You don't have to. You don't have to.
No, no, it's fine. It's fine. Okay.
I mean, I know there was T-Pain. He's like the
released on September 19th, 1997. So, no, okay. It was not Peter Frampton.
All right, so it's not Peter Frampton.
Cher's 1998 song Believe popularized the use of auto-tune to deliberately distort vocals, a technique that became known as the Cher effect. So it's since been used by many artists in different genres, including Daft Punk, Radiohead, T-Pain, and Kanye West.
Oh, wow. She has a whole effect named after her. All right.
She does.
Damn. Cher's out here affecting people.
Yeah, so auto-tune didn't really become a thing until the 90s.
Okay, all right. I stand corrected.
That is not, that's just, I don't know. It's like the guitar and the wah-wah pedal. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Don't make me look up how Peter Frampton did that.
No. Peter Frampton, if you're listening, call us. Let us know. What did that thing do?
Is Peter Frampton still alive? I don't even know.
I think so, right?
Is he? Okay, let's see if he's dead.
Don't you get his newsletter?
He was born in 1950. He is 75. He is still kicking, my friend.
Yeah, 75 years young.
Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive, by the way, 1976.
Ooh! So,
yeah. That predates autotune by like 21 years.
Okay, all right, so I guess it's not autotune.
So you were not only merely wrong, you were really most severely wrong.
I was horrifically wrong.
You were horrifically, horrifically wrong. Right, well,
this is how I learned. This is how we learn. but yeah, Cher. I thought she was cool.
Okay, let's tackle the big question then of the musical guest. Do you think Lorne Michaels knows who Cher is?
Yeah, he has to.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. I feel like he has to know who Cher is.
They're like contemporaries. For
the reason she was on the 50th.
Yeah, she was on they're contemporaries. They're the same age. Like, I feel like they've hung out at parties at a Paul Simon's bungalow or something. Like
what do you think Lorne and Cher talk about when they run into each other at one of Paul Simon's parties?
I don't know. And I mean, I'm sure Paul Simon and her talk about, you know, I want to make a bad Garfunkel, Sonny Bono, who's more.
Sure. Go for it. Yeah.
I won't
threw it off the tree.
I won't. It's Christmas. I'm going to be nice.
All right.
I'll say they talk
about too much of low hanging fruit. Okay.
Yes, exactly. They talk about red wine and I don't know. What did people talk about in the 70s? Polyester? I don't know. 8-track tapes?
Yeah. Polyester and 8-track tapes and.
Yeah, there you go.
Pot. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's too early to talk about cocaine, so.
Yeah, they talk about pot, the Doobie Brothers, things like that. Platform shoes. Yeah. You know, important stuff like that.
Right. The gas shortage.
Gas shortage is that.
Iranian hostage crisis.
Of course. Sideburns. Proper.
Sideburns, yes.
Proper sideburns maintenance. Yeah. You know, important things like that. Right on, baby.
Anyway.
Weekend update.
Weekend update. Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Hey.
Let's see, it's a Christmas season. We're celebrating the man who flies through the air to visit children all over the world, Jeffrey Epstein.
I'm talking about the Epstein files. Trey brings up how, there wasn't much in there except for this one picture of Bill Clinton hugged up on Melania. And of course, it's Bill Clinton and Michael Jackson.
I did like Che's joke. He was talking about the statue of Barbara Rose Johns and the statue of Thomas Jefferson nearby went,
Yeah.
that made me laugh.
Yeah, Thomas.
just kind of the delivery of it.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson. He likes that chocolate milk. And them doing the jokes was kind of short because we got all this other stuff to get to in the weekend update. Like, Che's 12-year-old nephew, Tyson, played by Cam Patterson. No relation. what are your thoughts on this?
I thought the kid voice that Cam Patterson, no relation, was using was really annoying. So that was a barrier to my enjoyment.
Yeah, but I mean, it was part of the gag. I get it. And it's weird because Cam Patterson's real voice is just like this raspy old man voice.
Yeah.
So to hear him talking baby
talk. He's supposed to switch between a cute kid and, you know, him threatening Santa because he didn't get a bicycle last year. I just didn't think the fake kid voice was working at all. It was more annoying than cute, so that bugged me. So
I see what you're saying. Yeah, because he's like, oh, I've been a very good boy, Santa.
Yeah.
I didn't get a bike last year like I wanted to, so this year I'm going to get what's mine. I'm going to break in your house and beat your ass, motherfucker. Yeah, and so...
Yeah, I'm not a big one for the cloying fake kid voice. Like I'm talking all cute and stuff. No, thank you.
I mean, I did like how Che.
That's why I didn't see Home Alone, you know?
Because he doesn't talk. Macaulay Culkin doesn't talk like.
He looked like he might.
Like Cam Patterson, no relation here. No, he talks like you know, like a regular guy. Like, hey, yo, how you doing?
Okay.
And but I did like Michael Che's interactions with Cam Patterson, a relation, saying like, hey, whoa, show some respect there. I work here, kind of.
Yeah, I like that line. That was a good line.
Yeah, and of course, then Tyson keeps threatening Santa, saying, "Yeah, I'm coming after Mrs. Claus next. She's in my DMs. I'm gonna run a Polar Express on that hoe."
I'd forgotten that. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, this segment it didn't really change my mind. On Cam Patterson, no relation at all.
But John,
I'm still not terribly impressed with the guy.
But John, he's gonna run up to Mrs. Claus buck naked, except for a puffer jacket and UGG boots for traction.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that mental image.
There you go. I know Cam's not getting a lot of screen time. The little we do get was like, all right, he's okay, but yeah, I still don't know.
He hasn't really done anything that's impressed me yet.
Yeah, so. Not yet. Like, I really want to see why they had him on. I'm still waiting for that moment where I'm like, oh, that's why they hired him.
Yeah, you're always waiting for that moment with a new cast member where you're like, oh, okay, I see what they were seeing in them. And sometimes you see it right away. Sometimes you see it, like, just a few weeks into their first season. And sometimes you're just like, nope, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm out.
Yep. And sometimes you just lose your patience with a new cast member. And I might be approaching that point with Cam Patterson, no relation.
Cam Patterson is approaching the wick line, we'll call it.
Yeah, the wick line. The wick line. You go over the wick line, you know, between like and dislike. You cross the wick line.
Don't cross the wick line.
That might be too cruel.
I think so. You know what? I knew I just said I was trying to be
nicer. It's clever, but it is a little cruel. You know?
I know I just said I was going to be nicer because it's the holidays, but I couldn't let that joke go. I apologize, Jim. Yeah. That was me.
Look, I'm not going to promise I'm never going to revisit that gag because it is a good gag, but I will try to be better than that.
I was like, this is kind of mean, but it's really clever. I should say it. So, yeah.
I agree.
It's the two wolves that live inside of me, John. It's,
yep, inside you. There are two wolves.
That's that dichotomy. joke swap. Let's do a joke swap.
We got a Christmas joke swap. And this is interesting because according to Late Nighter, this was actually a genuine surprise for Colin Jost.
Oh, it was.
Because the joke was this time around that they decided they weren't going to do it, and then Che went ahead and wrote jokes for Jost anyway. And I rewatched it with that in mind. And Colin, when Jost announced, or excuse me, when Che announces it, Colin actually goes, "Oh!" And I think he is genuinely surprised.
I was wondering if that was genuine or not, because after he says what he says, Che was like, "You're right there, buddy." Like I was like, "I think that was real."
He seems just uncomfortable enough that I think it was real. Yeah.
Wow.
And it's kind of a short segment, so I can kind of believe that they snuck it in. It's only like, I think about 2.5 minutes, something like that.
Yeah. It was short. No Che. It was Oops All Jost. But yeah, some of these jokes are like the Archdiocese set up $3 million fund for abuse victims. And yet I get nothing for keeping my mouth shut and taking it like a champ.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
And he also talked about how the U.S. Mint is getting grief because there aren't enough coins that celebrate the civil rights movement. And he says, well, what about the coin that celebrates where black people actually come from? Ships.
Woo!
They show a coin with a ship on. And then, of course, also he reports on women. More women are leaving the workforce due to menopause. And then they put up a picture of Scarlett Johansson on the screen. He says, yeah, well, my gravy train is almost over.
Yeah. And then he says he's got a backup. Show a picture of Jenna Ortega as Wednesday Adams.
Right.
Saying they don't call Wednesday hump day for nothing.
Right.
I heard gasps from the audience, John.
Did you now?
Yeah, go back. You hear a woman go, oh! It's like,
she was like fan or something. Margaret Dumont was in the audience.
For yeah.
Oh, my. Oh. Fanning herself.
Miss Frabisham. Yeah, like it was like genuine shocks and of and awe in the audience.
So what did you think of the one-sided joke swap?
I mean, I genuinely like it better when there's a back and forth.
Yeah,
agreed. I feel like it's stronger. I mean, some of these jokes are pretty. I mean, especially the last one was like,
my God.
But
it just being one-sided, it felt a little. I don't know. Half-assed might be a little harsh, but yeah, it didn't feel like because we were like surprising Jost with it. Yeah, it wasn't all it could have been. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. But you know what we got was still shocking as ever as all the other joke swap jokes. But yeah, I like it better when it's there's a little bit of give and take there.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think the fun of it is the give and take, and yeah, when it's a one sided thing, it is a little less fun. So
yeah, it gets a little. I know it's going to be weird for me saying it, but yeah, it does sound a little. It is a little mean, I guess, when it's just one guy doing it. You know.
I mean, look, hey, I love the white dude making the racist jokes as much as anybody.
Of course. I mean,
my record bears this out, obviously.
Sure, of course.
I mean, as soon as there was a sketch called Black Santa, Darren was like, oh, John's going to hate this.
Because it's Keenan, not because it's the black.
Okay.
Come on. Come on, John, you're an ally. You know what's up.
Well, thank you. Okay.
You're good, baby.
I just wanted to get that on record.
That's all good, baby. You
all right. Here. All right.
We fam.
Garrett's going to say nice things about me at the next meeting. Yeah. So.
brothers, Mr. Trumbull, he's I. Leave him alone.
He's I. Don't hassle him too much this next time.
Yeah, he's cool, baby. He's cool. Right on.
He's cool.
Can you dig it?
Why am I just picturing everyone at the meeting with like just huge 1970s afros?
Yeah.
With like picks.
Yeah. You remember the opening of
And then it all becomes a roller disco.
Yeah. Remember the opening of the Warriors? It's a lot like that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Can you dig it?
That's
what
that. And then me just trying to get home back to Coney Island on the trains.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, watch the Warriors. You'll understand why that joke is hilarious.
Yeah, it took me forever to finally see the Warriors, but I finally did sit down and watch the Warriors a year or two ago.
It is a fever dream, but it is
the 1970s New York. That's just wild, man.
Wild times, baby. Wild times.
I'm like, really? You had street gangs dressing up in baseball uniforms with the full face makeup? Wait, that was a thing? Really?
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
They were roaming the streets of Little Italy, just dressed up like that.
All right.
Trend forecasters.
We have Bowen saying goodbye to another one of his, what I presume was one of his favorite characters. And we have A.D. Bryant returning to do it with him.
Yay.
This was never my personal favorite, but I like that Bowen got to do it. So
yeah. Them saying things like, things that are in and out. Out is mistletoe. It's a plant that makes you kiss that already exists called marijuana. Mm-hmm. Go to bed, bitch. Singing trends that are out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Just start the song already. Go to bed, bitch. Chinese trends that are out. Orange chicken. And then they say go to bed, bitch, in Mandarin. And at one point, Bowen does say, before he says the next line, he says clear path, which was a nod to another character he used to do, that that midwife character. So I like
One totally over my head.
Yeah, I clock that. Like, oh, you slid in that little catchphrase from your midwife character. I see what you did there, Bowen. I see you.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
But stupid.
Oh, thank you, Artie Johnson.
Thank you. Hey, you caught the laughing reference.
Hell yeah, I love laughing. That shit was fire.
Yeah.
Girls in bikinis and people getting hit with purses. Fantastic.
Sock it to me.
Ban the bomb. SNL. Let's talk about
SNL. So I mean, yeah, the trend forecasters, I was like, okay, well, it's fun. It's all right. It's no Jebediah Atkinson, in my opinion. But
no, what is? Yeah, I thought this was cute. It's fun to see that 80 came back. I thought that was cute. Yeah, I thought this was a cute little segment. Overall, the weekend update I thought was I thought it was pretty good. I think it was better than last week. And so we'll move on to Love is Blind, the reunion.
Is this the one you hate?
This is the one I wasn't crazy about.
All right. Okay, let's get into it. We got Love is Blind. It's like this dating show where you don't see what the other person looks like and you just connect with personality. Don't know. Sounds dumb to me. Don't get to see what somebody looks like. Boo.
I need to see the goods before I purchase, right?
That's right. Give me that show where like the people are dating naked.
Yeah. Give me that. Need to see them cans, sweetheart. Oh. Mamma mia.
Suddenly I'm just hosting the show with Andrew Dice Clay. Okay. All right.
Let's see the goods.
Oh.
Let's see the goods, doll face, Marone.
Anyway, I've never seen any of these dating shows.
I saw a little bit of Love It's Blind, because the wife was a fan of it. And it's basically that. Like, it's two people divided by the wall. They just talk to each other and they try to connect, and they don't see each other until I think like the very end when they decide they want to be together. And I think it ends in marriage usually or something like that.
Oh, geez. See, those dating shows where you have to get engaged at the end, that's really going 0 to 60, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
Yeah. I would not want to sign up for one of those.
No, I mean, in my single days, I was never that lonely.
No.
Yes.
I'm thinking of an old Bill Hicks routine now.
All right, go for it.
Well, he was like, he was talking about like, you know, people on dating shows, you know, people on national TV begging for dates. You know, have some dignity, stay home and jerk off. Have some self-respect.
That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably mangling it, but that was what old Bill Hicks had to say about the dating shows.
R.I.P. Bill Hicks.
So we got we do a flashback to the reveal where Ariana Grande, you know, nice looking Ariana Grande lady, she meets the guy that she was matched up with, who's the Grinch, Mikey, and we find out that the Grinch is actually like a slur from the residents of Whoville. His name is Neil.
Because like at first, like once they meet, she's not into it and she runs away.
Right.
And like
she actually nearly says "what the fuck" a couple times.
Did she?
Yeah, she's like going right. She's like, "what the?" Yeah, she's like cutting herself off.
Oh, I gotta go back and watch that.
Yeah, I gotta check that out. Yeah. She also finds out that he doesn't have a penis. He has a corkscrew that's in his butt that hurts the woman and me.
Huh.
So that's the flashback, and then we go to the present day, which is like 4 months later, and now they're together. So
yeah, like she overreacted and they apologized and now they're together. Mm-hmm. And
I literally never asked if he was the Grinch, but that's on me.
And then the people around them for the reunion ask some questions, and then they find out that the Grinch is pregnant with their baby.
Yeah. And they're expecting, and the Grinch is the one who's pregnant.
Yeah. I thought this one was just pretty weak. Like the premise isn't great, and I mean, there's a little, there is some escalation, but it never really.
We could have done more with this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, especially since like there are two Cut for Time sketches that I kind of thought were better than this one. Like
I agree. I like both of the Cut for Time sketches better than most everything else we got in the show. So
yeah, like I kind of wish they would have taken this out and put in one of those in here, but I didn't write too much about this one. This I thought it was pretty weak.
Yeah, I agree. Not a great one.
Yeah, and
the makeup's impressive.
Yeah, no,
Mikey makes a good Grinch.
Yeah, I mean Mikey was a Grinch in last week's episode in the Characters on Characters.
Oh yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah. This is the second
we're
time.
We're getting our money's worth out of that Grinch outfit, man.
They really are. Maybe he takes it home with him. I don't know. He seems to really, really embody the Grinch.
Sure.
So now we come to the final sketch of the evening. The final sketch of 2025. And the final sketch of
Bowen Yang's SNL career.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
Delta Lounge.
Delta Lounge. So we cut to Bowen Yang, who plays Ed, this older man who works at the Delta Sky Lounge at the JFK Airport, giving out free eggnog, works behind the counter, and, Wick Line.
And it gets very meta very quickly. He says, the eggnog machine is breaking down, so they're closing my station, and this is my last shift.
Aww.
And he gets on the phone with his significant other, who's Ariana Grande. And she says, like, well, all the eggnog you made over the years, some of it was great, some of it was rotten, a lot of it got cut.
Yeah. But eggnog is kind of like him. It's not for everybody, but the ones who like it are his kind of people.
Yeah.
So this is all meta, all tugging at the heartstrings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the two of them sing Please Come Home for Christmas. Like, it's a very sweet moment, I would say, in this one. I also liked how there was this one point where Bowen talks to Wick Line this music saying, yeah, I'm going to miss this place, all the way it smells, all the celebrities that come through here. Why, just last week, Josh O'Connor was here.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, nice little meta tag.
Elbow in the ribs. He's talking about SNL, you guys.
Wait, he is! Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And we have Keenan who wanders by, and they're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? He says, oh, well, my biological son finally found me, so the jig is up. and then there's this weird thing with the eggnog machine where it just, like, sprays on Keenan's sleeve, and they both just ignore it?
Yeah, I think it was an accident, and they kind of giggle. And
yeah, I was like, I looked at that, and I was like, I don't know if that was supposed to be worse or if that was supposed to be better. But they just plow through and they don't even comment on it, which was kind of weird.
Yeah, and then Keenan says, "Well, I'm gonna miss you. Good luck. I'm really gonna miss you."
Right.
And then Bowen says, "I'll miss you too, Keenan Thompson."
Yeah, so I liked that Keenan Thompson was revealed to have been playing,
who has a biological son that he hasn't seen in forever.
Yeah.
So then they continue singing, "Please Come Home for Christmas." And then the wife shows up to the airport saying, hey, I wouldn't miss your last shift for the world. And we see Bowen start to cry a little bit. And like for a minute, I was like, oh, is this the character that's supposed to cry? Or is Bowen like genuinely getting teary-eyed here? Like, then I was like, oh, wait, no, I think this is genuine. This is real. He's like tearing up. And
oh, everyone knows comedians don't have real emotions, Darren.
We're dead inside.
That's right.
We're the Walking Dead.
That's right. We really are.
Yeah. And so Bowen, he starts to cry and Ariana says, well, I can't believe you're retiring. And Bowen says, well, I just want to go out on top. And then Ariana says, oh, honey, everyone knows you're a bottom. Well, that's kind of funny. And and then Bowen really, he bears all. And so like, I feel so lucky I got to work here. I just want to enjoy it a little bit longer. I love everybody here. I love every single person that's worked here. That's done so much for me, especially my boss. And in walks in his boss. It's Cher.
Yeah. And Cher confesses, well, honestly, everyone thought you were a little bit too gay.
It's like, but you know what? You're perfect to me.
Yeah.
and just hugs and tears and singing. It was a heartwarming, sweet way to end the episode, I think.
Yeah, it tugged at the old heartstrings. I didn't think it was particularly funny outside of a couple stray moments, but you know, but that's fine. If you can't get self-indulgent in your last ever SNL sketch, when can you?
Yeah, so. I thought it was sweet. I had some funny lines in there. Overall, I thought it was a good way.
Got me to thinking, though. You know, we got Von Yang, we got Ariana Grande, we got Cher. Is this the gayest SNL sketch ever, do you think?
Yas, bitch!
I don't know. The Sara Lee sketch might be gayer.
Oh, yes. Must get rid of toxic in community.
Yeah, so I don't know. That could be an interesting little sub-debate of, like, what is the gayest SNL sketch ever? In, like, a positive way, not in a homophobic way.
Well, there was that one pre-tape that had Kate Bowen and Punky about, was it the Gay Pride Pride Month pre-tape? That's pretty.
I don't know if I remember that one.
It was on the Anya Taylor-Joy episode.
Okay.
It was a pre-tape about Pride Month. And so that was pretty gay.
Pretty gay. Okay.
So I'm gonna go with that one. Final answer, Alex. Okay.
So on a scale from 1 to fabulous, that was like fabulous?
That was fabulous.
That was like 2 snaps.
2 snaps, a twist, and a kiss.
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Going and, in living color. We're referencing all the other sketch shows this week.
We're going to work in the Kids in a Hall and the State soon enough. And maybe even Benny Hill, if you're good.
And some Key and Peele.
Ooh, Key and Peele. Nice. And
I watched a Key and Peele sketch just earlier today.
Oh, which one?
The one with the racist zombies.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Where, like, Key and Peele, and, like, Kevin Sorbo's in the beginning of it for some reason. I totally forgotten that. Kevin Sorbo is in it, and he's like, all right, I'm going to lead you guys out of this. And then he gets killed, like, a minute in.
Nice.
And then Key and Peele are left, and they're like, okay, we got to go through this crowd of zombies. And then all the zombies are avoiding them. And one zombie, like, locks his car door. And they're like, ain't that a bitch?
Come on, man.
It's so funny. I miss that show still.
Oh, boy. It was fantastic. It was a good time to be alive.
Good times.
Yeah, and then the show ends with a title card, RIP Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
The man, the myth, the legend. He hosted the third episode of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And, just a little...
Gone
too soon. Very, very much so. And then that's the episode. That's our final episode of 2025.
We got the good nights. We're saying goodbye to Bowen. We see Sarah starting a standing ovation for him. Lots of big group hug for Bowen. You know, it's nice. Yeah. He's obviously going to be missed.
He will be missed. It seems like he went out on top. He went out before he, overstayed his welcome.
What are your favorite Bowen Yang moments, like off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I mean... The iceberg sketch that's
classic.
That's the sketch that broke him. Bowen Straight.
Bowen Straight, another favorite of mine, yes.
I'll give a tip of the hat to that.
I like the one where I believe it was him and 80 and they were buying the bed together.
Oh no, that's Rami Malek.
That was Rami Malek. Wasn't Bowen the salesman in that though?
Oh, he was, but that's more of a straight man thing.
Oh, what? So Bowen can't be the straight man in a sketch?
No.
What are you saying, Darren?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Look, that's seriously, that's part of what made him a great SNL cast member. He could be the straight man in a sketch. He could be the outrageous person in a sketch.
You know what? You're right. I need to check my privilege.
Yeah, you do. You really do, man.
I'm the problem. I'm the problem.
You are. I've said this for years.
You've been saying that behind my back for years.
I've been going on web forums and saying, Darren's a problem.
He's a real problem.
He's a problem.
So I'm looking through all the SNL Bowen Yang sketches. Oh, the one with him and Simu Liu, where they were like sort of competing against each other to be the first Asian to do this, the first Asian to do that.
Oh, yeah. I remember liking that one. Yeah.
That was a really good one. There was one with the Hello Kitty store with him and Kiki Palmer. thought mm-hmm. was pretty funny.
I mean, we've mentioned a couple times this podcast already, but the Sarah Lee one was very funny.
Yes, yeah, Sarah Lee, absolutely. Yeah, he was just like really fantastic. Like he kind of gave, I don't know, he really was like doing his own thing in the show. He kind of gave the show a vibe and a flair that really wasn't there before.
Yeah.
I mean, from the last Ariana Grande episode, the charade sketch with my mom, where he was like fighting Ariana Grande and ended up making out at the end of it.
I'd have to see that one again, I think.
It's a pretty great sketch. It's where like Ariana Grande, she even said like I was kind of doing an impression of my mom in that sketch. But it's like the mom was like a sore loser as they were playing charades and all these board games.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good. Great sketch. But yeah, off the top of my head, those are my top five.
All right. Good list.
Mm-hmm. But enough about me. What did you guys think out there in TV land? What did you think about this episode?
Wait. Should we cover the cut for time sketches?
Oh shit! Yeah, let's do that.
Because we did mention that we both like those more than a lot of what was in the show, so maybe we should cover those.
Yeah, let's do that. What the fuck am I talking about? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, we don't care about other people's opinions.
No.
More of our opinions.
We'll tell you what your opinion is.
That's right. You'll get your opinions when we slap them into you.
Yeah.
We'll get to them in about five minutes. But
We won't slap them. We'll place them in with consent.
We'll pay some gingerly in front of you. Yeah,
exactly. So let's go with the espresso martini.
Espresso martini. This is a sort of a PSA. They're talking about a dangerous substance affecting women in their 20s, espresso martinis, that transform them into BMDs, bitches of mass destruction. And we've got Ariana Grande, and she's next to Jeremy Colhane and Ben Marshall. Ben is like towering over them both.
Yeah, I gotta see how tall Ben. I know Ben's tall, Ariana Grande is super
She is
short.
A tiny little thing, and so, never more so than when she is standing next to Ben Marshall. I mean, my God.
Yeah, like he's got to be like Pete Davidson height, right?
Something like he's got to be well over 6 feet. I was just like for the first half of it, I was just like, whoa, the height discrepancy is way greater than I thought.
he's a lot of man. He's got a lot of height on him.
So they are advertising, you know, because women go nuts after they have an espresso martini or two, they're advertising an espresso martini safe room.
Right.
Where the women can get this out of their system and not publicly embarrass themselves.
Right, where they can just kind of detox and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They're supplied with fake phones full of Instagram stories so they can comment without doing any real damage. Mm-hmm. They have cardboard cutouts of their boyfriends that they can take their anger out on. For something that they did 9 years ago.
It also comes with a thoughtful gay man behind glass.
Like, you're the only one who didn't wish me on my happy birthday. And it's like, bitch, I was in Greece.
And I believe they call it girly meth, which is very funny.
Yeah, yeah. And then we see at the very end, it's just the two beleaguered boyfriends, Jeremy and Ben, promoting this, espresso martini detox. And then we see that Ariane has relapsed and is drinking espresso martinis and says that Ben looks like Pennywise took an improv class.
Terrific roast joke. Awesome roast joke.
Yeah. And when she talks, it's like a child yelling at a skyscraper because Ben is so tall.
He is so tall.
And Ariane is so short.
This I thought it was funnier than anything in the show. I wish they could have found a place for it.
Yes, and according to what I'm seeing here, Ariana Grande is 5 feet tall.
5 feet even. My goodness.
I'm seeing 5'1", but that is so small.
That is and she is petite too. So it's just she looks like a stiff wind will blow her away.
Yes, just. Fragile.
Like, I would be scared to sneeze in the same room as Ariana Grande. She would just go flying.
That's why she has, like, sandbags down wherever she goes to.
Sure, No, that's just good thinking. I mean, just plan ahead, man.
Yeah, it's like a storm. So when storms are coming.
Let me see. I'm curious if Ben Marshall's host is. Ben Marshall, comedian.
I couldn't find his height.
Does not list his height.
He's not.
He still has kind of a bare bones Wikipedia page.
Yeah, he's not there yet.
not a bad pitcher though. A bad pitcher. I've now sort of spoiled myself for our Wikipedia.
Ooh.
Pitcher thing at the end of the season, but we'll see. It could still change between now and then. We got half a year.
Anything can happen, baby.
Anything can happen.
And the other Cut for Time sketch, Last Stop Christmas Shop, where we see Sarah Sherman and Ariana as these like two balding dudes that have a Christmas tree shop, and it's a place where people go to on Christmas Day. They're open Christmas Day when you need a Christmas tree at the very last minute. Like, you'll just take what they got lying around. It's like,
whatever we got, that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, you're the one who forgot you had custody this weekend, you junkie.
I like that they had a Vern Troyer memorial cactus for some reason. That was so random. It was funny. I like the character work that the two of them were doing.
I
enjoyed this.
I did too.
It was all right. I think it could have been good if they kept in the show.
I think so. Yeah. Like, I would have enjoyed seeing this too. I think this was both of these Cut for Time sketches, I think, were stronger than a few of the sketches we got, for sure. Mm-hmm.
What was your sketch of the week? I don't think we covered that. For me, I think it was Home Alone.
I might say Delta Lounge just because it's so sweet. But
if
I'm going for genuinely funny over sweet, yeah, I might go with Home Alone as well.
Okay, yeah. I mean, my heart is made of stone, so yeah, I go for funny over sweet. So.
Yes. But yeah, like Home Alone, just for the audaciousness of it, and it's just so damn wild.
Yeah.
Okay. But now we'll go to Blue Sky and see what see what you fine folks thought. Our good friend Nick Storr, he says that was a fun episode, super fun, just fun throughout. Ariana Grande is a great, easily the best episode of the season. Highlights were Bowen's goodbye, cry face, Keenan as Black Santa, JAJ's Bocelli voice, all of Ariana Grande, especially the reprisal of Antonio.
That's
Bryan.
The castrato, I believe. Yeah.
That's the castrato, yes. A.D. Bryan, share.
And let's see. Hot He Lion says, the best episode of the season so far. Ariana has Timberlake potential, even though her Fallon Sandberg has just left. I'm not quite sure what. He means like Fallon Sandberg in terms of Bowen being her partner in sketches.
Yes.
He says, I'm glad Bowen got to leave on his terms. This is a cutthroat industry. Wished Heidi or Ego could have got that butt shrug. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas. Thank you. You too. And I'm still not ready to share.
Aww.
Peace, heart.
Someday. But yeah, like that did kind of fly through my mind where I was like, oh, I kind of wish Heidi and Ego got their goodbye episodes.
Yeah, they didn't get official goodbye episodes, but
all right, but yeah, it's this business, this damn business.
I mean, you know, it wouldn't shock me if you came back to host at some point, though. So
yeah, hopefully we'll see.
Yeah.
So our good friend Deej at Wacky Notion Productions, she sent us three messages saying this was a great episode to end the year on. Elf on a Shelf therapy was such a concept. Never got the appeal of it as a concept, but this took it to another level. Saw the darker side of Jane Wickline, and Ariana hugging her legs just killed me. Jeremy with the Lego, and the cheese is stuck to him. Pairing Jane and Lil Jon was inspired, as was the random pairing. Kate Bush and Yoko Ono worked. I think we now have our Cam Outstanding Weekend Update. All right.
Ooh. Okay. Well, glad you liked it.
Yeah, buck naked wearing Ugg boots for traction. AD coming back, I hoped for and got. Awesome farewell to Bowen Yang. I will miss his voice on the show, but he's on to bigger things. Much love for the holidays from all of us at Wacky Notion Productions, We Heart Hater, and Saturday Night Ladies. I always appreciate your takes and the laughs you generate. You guys are part of the inspiration for Saturday Night Ladies and my first time doing a weekly podcast. Look at that, John. We're changing lives here.
Oh, dear. I'm sorry. Spreading like a virus.
Yes. Yeah. We are contagious. Get vaccinated from the SNL nerds, people.
And let's see, from Drew S. Rod, says, from top to bottom, best ep of the year. The only sketch that didn't work was Dance Class. Everything else was funny.
Okay. And Stephen M. saying, I believe in a pervert close. Just a fun banger ep we needed. Joke swap with a tease. Decent send-off for Bowen, but not the Stefan we deserved.
And we also have one more comment. Someone who quoted us, S. Carr, at warmtakes.bluesky.social, says, I'm really going to miss Bowen. Signs seem to be pointing for Lorne to retire. I said it.
Ooh, damn, yo.
Yeah. S. Carr getting kind of controversial there.
Getting political.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure why they think Lorne is going to retire. I mean, outside of the obvious age thing, but.
Yeah. Like, I don't
know. Past 50th, but.
Yeah. Like, I know. They keep saying people, like, oh, they're ready for him to retire, but it doesn't seem like he's going to leave anytime soon, which I don't know.
Yeah. He's always. Just,
I don't know. You know.
Yeah. You know, he always kind of hedges the question whenever it's put to him. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's sick of getting that question, but.
So. Yeah, but I don't know. We'll see. Will Lorne stay on indefinitely? Will he be replaced with a robo part so he can live forever? I don't know.
Yeah, will we sometime have a SNL run by a zombie, Lorne Michaels?
Ooh.
I mean, who can tell? Is your money on zombie Lorne Michaels, cyborg Lorne Michaels, some other artificial life extended Lorne Michaels? Who knows?
Lorne Michaels' head in a floating jar.
Ooh, going Futurama with it. Yes.
There you go. I'm just saying the possibilities are endless. All you have to do is believe.
They really are. All right. Well, so I mean that was a Christmas show. SNL's going to be off for the next few weeks until January 17th when it returns with Finn Wolfhard. And who was the name of the musical guest? I'm blanking on it.
ASAP Rocky.
ASAP Rocky with a dollar sign for the S and ASAP. So
you know he's badass.
I do. Only badass is use dollar signs in the
damn names. Straight. But yeah, Finn Wolfhard, probably best known for Stranger Things. He was also
in the new Ghostbusters movies.
Yes, and he was also in that Saturday Night movie that we talked about. And so he was.
That's
like,
true. Yeah, he played the page.
Played the page.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what he brings to live sketch comedy.
We'll see what the kid's got. He probably isn't a kid anymore. He's probably like in his 30s or collecting Social Security. I don't know.
Grown ass man with sciatica problems.
He is. He's somehow like, you know, past me, and now he's like in his 60s.
I'm Finn Wolfhard, live from New York.
I'm Finn Wolfhard. How you doing?
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
What are we going to do in the meantime, Darren? We got all these other shows to fill. Unlike these pansy SNL people, we don't take weeks off from this show, do we?
Hell no.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Hell no, we won't go.
So final episode of the year for SNL nerds. We tried to figure out what to do. We had something lined up, but then with the untimely passing of Mr. Rob Reiner, we thought it was only fitting we pay a tribute to this great, great man. But the thing is, we covered a lot of the movies he already directed.
We're big Rob Reiner fans, so we have covered, and you know, you can see these all on at non-productive.com or go to YouTube to the non-productive page and check them out. We've covered When Harry Met Sally. We've covered This is Spinal Tap. We've covered Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. And what else did we do? When Harry Met Sally. Did I mention that one?
You did. Princess Bride.
Princess Bride. That's the other one. Yes.
Right. So we were trying to figure out how can we pay our respects to this titan, this legend. And then we realized, there's this one thing that he directed where he talks to another comedic legend that has an SNL connection. And so let's do that. So we're doing it. Final episode of 2025. We're talking all about Albert Brooks, Defending My Life, the HBO Max documentary.
Yeah. So, and Albert Brooks, of course, did short films for SNL in the first year of the show. The you know, when the show sort of found its format more, Albert Brooks kind of went away because he was off in L.A. Everybody else in New York and yada, yada, yada. I'm sure they'll cover this in the doc.
Yeah, and, for sure.
And he and Rob Reiner were like lifelong friends, like friends from like, I think, grade school on.
Yeah, they're childhood friends. They've known each other forever. They knew each
other.
Yeah,
for like, you know, 40 odd years. So, and yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this. And Albert Brooks has also had such an incredible comedic career too. So it'll be interesting to delve into that.
Yeah, like, I mean, Albert Brooks, he's one of those guys who, I mean, I don't want to say he's not the mainstream doesn't know who he is, but definitely he's one of those guys where, like, comedians know him. Like, if you're really...
The real ones know who he is.
The real OGs know. Like, real comedy nerds, they know he's...
What he's Hank Scorpio from The Simpsons, goddammit.
Yeah, show some goddamn respect, you punk.
He's you know, in there with Holly Hunter and William Hurt in Broadcast News. Mm. Amazing film. Absolutely. Didn't you say like a week or two ago you hadn't seen that?
No, actually, I did see it, but it was so long ago I don't remember much of it. So maybe I'll give
worth it revisiting. Broadcast News, amazing movie. James L. Brooks,
but great stuff. Yeah, but like as far as his stand-up comedy goes, which I feel like a lot of people don't know about, his stuff was really kind of experimental and out there. There's one clip in this in the trailer where they're interviewing David Letterman, and David Letterman said, "I'd rather have Albert Brooks's career than my own."
Wow! That's, yeah, that's something else. So yeah, really, really looking forward to seeing this, and as a tribute to both Albert Brooks and to the late great Rob Reiner, who, you know, we love and miss very, very much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And join us for that coming up soon. Final episode of 2025. And that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. You can listen to this on the YouTubes on our YouTube page, non-productive.com. Donate to our Patreon. Help us out, for Pete's sake. It's the holiday season. Look inside your heart. Yes,
give, Scrooge. give. You know, whatever amount you won't miss.
Yes, it's Christmas Eve, Mr. Scrooge.
Give us some. Helps us keep things going. So.
Absolutely. And as always, you can follow me on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-A-N, Credible.
You can follow me on all the socials at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic. And did we mention the SNL Nerds Blue Sky page?
Yeah, at SNL Nerds. We're there, baby boy.
At SNL Nerds, yeah. Call us there, comment there, and let us know what you think. And, you know, yeah, check out the Albert Brooks talk and let us know what you think about that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So we will be back next week with that. Join us for that, please. Have a wonderful, safe holiday season, and we will see you next week. But until then, nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.